This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, it's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle, and this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. See if we can open up these lines, and we'll hear some of your stories. Because with the Robinson Cano news coming down this week that he was testing positive for a banned substance, a diuretic that is known as a masking agent to block whatever testing could occur on performance-enhancing drugs, Robinson did what most, or certainly many, people who have been caught in similar situations have done immediately following that positive test. They've made an excuse for it.
Deny. I think Danny O'Neill from the afternoon show, Danny David Moore, wrote about that. That you're right. This is like 100%. Which athlete out there is just totally owned it the first time? I gave you some names, you know, yesterday that an Andy Pettit and an Alex Rodriguez and some guys that
Jason Giambi eventually
kind of make that turn later and say, all right, you know, let me own up to it. I'll fess up to it. And by the way, we didn't talk about this yesterday. Doesn't furosemide, how do you pronounce it? Doesn't that just look scary? It just looks like a word in a drug. Like, nah, I don't think
sounds,
so.
It sounds like thalidomide.
Yeah, it's just what any of those ides. I don't know. I get a little...
Cyanide?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Sounds a little too close to cyanide or thalidomide.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Yeah. So, not buying. I didn't buy it yesterday. I don't think anybody buys it. All you got to do is do a little bit of digging and a little bit of reading and hear from anybody that is informed on it, and they all say the same thing. You take that drug for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to mask a stacking of other performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know what? Hopefully, eventually, I hope Robbie owns it.
Well, he didn't right off the bat. I mean, he says recently, listen, remember, go back to his statement where he says, recently I learned I tested positive for the substance, which is not a PED. Furosemide is used to treat various medical conditions in the U.S. and the Dominican. It was given to me by a licensed doctor in the Dominican Republic to treat a medical ailment. Well, I did not realize at the time that I was given a medication that was banned. I obviously now wish that I had been more careful. So, you know, see, I think this is sort of halfway to an excuse. He's not full on making an excuse, but he's saying, I didn't realize it. I didn't know. So I guess that's the excuse that he's making. I didn't know. Not
he
it wasn't
know
me.
Which part he didn't,
he didn't. He didn't know. He just didn't know that
he
was
didn't
banned.
Know what?
He didn't know. not it wasn't me, but I didn't know. Right?
I guess.
There are two different types of excuses.
I wouldn't say that's right, but I will acknowledge that's what you're saying.
It's not plausible deniability.
No, I mean, it's hard to believe.
It's just I didn't know.
But that's what he's saying. I didn't know. Not I didn't do it. I didn't know.
Right.
And so we got
I didn't
to
know
think,
I took steroids?
No, I didn't know that this was banned, is what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
Right. I didn't know that this was banned. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what is the best or worst excuse you've either used or heard? What is the best or worst excuse for anything you've either used or heard? Cool? In your own life. I mean, I don't care about like something in like on politics or something. Like,
right.
What's the best excuse in your own life you've either used yourself or heard someone else use, or contrary to that, what would be the worst? 206-421-3776 is the number.
Because the way my leg was.
I mean, that's going to be one of the all-time worst.
That is the highest on the mantle.
Are you sure?
That is one of the all-time worst. The way my leg was.
Because the way my leg was.
That one's really.
I didn't fall on a fumble in the Super Bowl. Because, right at my foot.
Because of the way my leg was.
Because the way my leg was.
Right. You don't understand, Kyle, because you don't understand the way his leg was at the time.
I guess I don't appreciate the way his leg was.
Right. That's on you. Maybe if you'd understood the way his leg was, then you wouldn't have had that problem. So that's our question for you guys. Think about it in your life. 206-421-3776 is the number. 206-421-3776. What is the best excuse you've heard?
Yes.
Or what is the worst excuse you've heard? Or
best
I guess is one you could have
I've
used yourself.
I've ever heard at a job.
Okay.
I was training a new person. It was their second day on the job. And 10 o'clock rolls around. They were supposed to be there at 7. They still hadn't shown up. Phone calls, texts, nothing. They end up showing up at about 11:45.
Oh, wow.
Walk in and we're like, you're going to need to go like see the VP. Like, this is not a real acceptable deal. And sits down at the VP's desk, and the VP asks her, why are you not here 5 hours into your shift? And she goes, oh, I was cuddling with my dog.
What?
Respect, though.
But that's not even an excuse.
The VP looked at her and said, come again? Yeah, I was cuddling with my dog. I couldn't come in.
That's not an excuse. That's just an explanation. She didn't even try to make an excuse.
That was the excuse. I can't come to work because I was cuddling with my dog.
That's amazing. I mean, what kind of dog was it?
Yeah.
Should we get more details on this?
Then we asked her why she was being disruptive earlier in the week on her first day. Mm. And she said, oh, I don't remember any of that. I was on a lot of drugs.
Wow.
Sounds like a perfect worker. Did you hire this girl?
No, they didn't make it out of that day.
Not a surprise there.
I think the worst excuses come, and I think where there is the most commonality with all of you listening right now, with us talking, the worst excuses come on a golf course. I think the worst excuses for anybody listening,
really?
Right?
Yeah. Don't you think that at the end of it, everyone's excuse is that they're not good at golf?
No,
that's always mine. Well, no. What happened there? Well, I'm not very good at golf.
No.
Well,
no,
the wind.
No, I think
I hit the ball too well.
That's true. That's a good one.
About 100 that I have heard in any scramble event, or you know what? And I'll raise my hand. I guess this is a week of confession for me. I played golf the other day. Tyler upstairs. We get to the first tee, and I'm like, bro. The last time I played was spring break in Arizona with the guys. I was horrible. I was so bad. I've not picked up a club since. I'm playing with you guys. I'm going to enjoy the afternoon on a beautiful day, but I was horrible. So I already made an excuse and set the table in case I worm burn or whatever. And it's just weak sauce.
And then what happened?
I hit a good drive.
Right.
Which I didn't actually see because, as you know, the color blindness thing in those skies is just a real problem for me. And I was like, where'd that go?
Brocky, the problem with this is that you're actually using the wrong story. This is very meta.
What?
Your excuse that you hadn't played for a long time was right. Not a very good excuse. But this whole story is just an excuse for you to humble brag.
No,
about
it
your
was not. Absolutely.
Drive.
This is a humble brag.
And
no,
your 85 that you
it's
shot
not,
that day.
Absolutely.
Despite not playing since Arizona.
Don't need to
this
tell
whole
the
thing
rest,
is just an excuse.
I don't need to tell the rest of the story, okay? You can if you want to brag
and
about
that's
me. That's fine.
The rest.
That's exactly right.
Brock.
But oh, my
this
back
whole
hurts.
Thing was an excuse.
Oh, my blister. Oh, I did yard work yesterday. Oh, I'm usually not this bad. Oh, you know, I haven't played in weeks. Oh, the only time I play her in scrambles. Oh, I have heard 152 excuses.
Right.
In the 150.
Are any of them worse than the one
on.
Jeremy Lane gave after getting pulled over?
Drive on the fluence, promote you thinking I was drunk. And this time I was more high than, if anything.
Right. This time I was more high than anything. And they're saying
because
I was drunk.
Because I have been drunk. But this time I was high.
This time I was just high.
Or more high than anything.
Is that an excuse or is that an explanation at that point?
So I got, I mean, my worst is probably I got pulled over.
And come on, people, 206-421-3776. I know you got it in you.
I got pulled over driving from Boston to California.
Yes.
My junior year of college. I was heading back for my junior year, so I was 20 years old.
Okay.
And I had a case of beer in the back of my car that we were transporting out there. It was like good beer we were bringing from Colorado to Pomona.
Okay.
And I didn't even get pulled over, actually. My friend did. She was driving in front of me. She got pulled over in Utah.
Mm.
And so I pulled up another couple hundred yards up the road to wait for her because we were
nice.
Caravanning together.
Sure.
Nice, but as it turns out, a gigantic mistake.
Right.
Because the cops came over to my car and like, what's going on? I was like, oh, I was just waiting for her. And they're like, oh, have you been smoking pot? And I was like, well, no, I haven't been. I don't smoke pot, which is true. And they're like, well, your eyes look pretty red. I was like, well, I had the windows open and it's hot and it's morning and stuff. But like, well, you look like it. Could you get out of the car? I'm like, get out of the car? Really? So now I get out of the car and they're like asking me all these questions. They asked me to take a sobriety test, which thankfully I passed because, again, I'm sober. It's like 10 in the morning. And he's like, well, why is it? Well, it smells smoky in here. I'm like, yeah, I smoke cigarettes. Here you go. Like, look at him. And so that doesn't appease the guy. He's like, I'd like to take a look around your car. I'm like, you are? Okay. So now he's searching through it. He's looking through stuff. And in my glove compartment, the first thing he finds are two fake IDs.
Because one wasn't enough.
Well, one was this old one that we had bought when we were like 15 that just said Massachusetts identification on it. It's the worst fake ID of all time. Nobody could use it. It didn't work, but it was
whipped up some bad fakes.
No, it's real bad. Trust me. This thing, we got two at the time. The first one got taken away that day. The other one somehow I still had 5 years later. So that was one. Then he found my friend's license that I also had, my friend's older brother's license. And so he's like, well, if that's what he finds first, like, what's the deal with this? I'm like, oh, it's my friend's. I'm bringing it back to him. He left it in my house. He's like, I don't know. It's expired and stuff. I was like, oh, I didn't even know. Like, he left that in my house. And it's in my wallet to bring back to him. He's like, okay. And so then he's like, what's with this other one? I was like, oh, that one's fake. He's like, why do you have it? Well, I got it a long time ago, sir, to buy cigs and something. But, like, I'm sorry. And he's like, okay. Then he gets to the back, and he finds the beer. And he's like, well, what's the deal? How old? He doesn't even think anything of it. And he's like, wait, how old are you again? I'm like, oh, I'm only 20. He's like, oh, you can't have this. He's like, well, it's not mine. I'm just bringing it out to call.
My leg was.
Right. And so he's like, well, I got to, here's what I, he's like, I'm not going to bring you into the station. You didn't even do anything. You weren't even speeding. He's like, but I've got to confiscate the beers. And they were like big. They're 20-ounce beers. I'm like, okay, well, is there anything you can do? He's like, no, I got to take these. I'm like, okay. So he puts them up on the side of the road, and his partner comes out, and he turns to the partner. He's like, hey, you want to shoot these?
Oh, what?
So they took the beers.
You can't do that.
Swear to God. Swear to God, they put the beers up, and they shot one of the beers.
That's straight out of Super Troopers.
So funny.
So where were, you didn't make any excuses. Sounds like you're pretty honest.
I mean, no, I made a bunch of excuses along the way. Some of them were true, but a bunch of them were not entirely true. So there you go. That was probably my moment. He didn't actually shoot him. They talked about shooting him. Come on. I don't want to exaggerate the story. They talked about shooting him, but decided ultimately not to. So there you go. The problem was, oh, I know what it was. They wanted me to empty him out.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to pour these out.
You're going to have to pour these out. And I was like, okay, well, do you have a bottle opener? They're like, they're not twist off? I'm like, well, they're not Coors Light. Like, no, I can't twist them off. And so the guy goes, well, I guess we're just going to have to shoot him. They ended up just confiscating them, but I thought that was pretty good. All right, you want some stories from other
sure.
people? Sure. All right, let's see. John is in Woodinville. John, what is the best or worst excuse in your life?
Well, it was probably the worst excuse, but it turned out the best. Me and a bunch of college buddies decided to go on a weekend vacation to Colorado, and I had a huge test Monday morning. And I got a 40% on it. I told my professor that I didn't have enough time to study. He let me retake the test, and I got a 95. It was 33% of my grade.
Oh.
And pretty much spent the whole weekend just drinking.
So the only thing you had to use as an excuse, though, was I didn't have enough time to study?
I basically told him I was on vacation the whole weekend. I was honest with him, but... It was literally the worst excuse ever, and it was a huge test.
Saved your day. Well saved done, your bacon. John. All right, well John. Done. There you go.
I've got to leave this name out, because every time I tell the story and I use his name, he hears about it. So I'm going to leave the name out this time. But yes, one of my friends overslept his final, which was also hugely significant to their grade.
I've been told this story.
In college, an enormous, I think upwards of 33% of the grade, and he too overslept,
mm-hmm.
at which point I hear hitting the wall. And, oh, my gosh, I am dead. And running out the door and screaming across the freeway to get to school. And turns out he comes back eventually with a black eye. I'm like, oh, no, what happened? You know, and he's like, well, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I was like, yeah, you overslept. Yeah, I overslept. So I had to walk into the room late. And I had to have a black eye because I got in an accident. So you punched your side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
couldn't do it.
Punching.
Could you do that?
Did you overcome? Yeah. Like, wouldn't your mind would stop you from doing that?
I don't know. His didn't.
He was able to just straight up punch himself in the face.
Punch himself in the face.
Like that pitcher the other
yes.
day.
Yes. Just went to town.
That's terrible.
It worked.
I couldn't do that. Yeah. I don't think I would have that in me. No chance. Let's see. Best excuse. I got a ticket in California for not wearing a seatbelt. My excuse, I had third-degree sunburns with blisters all over my shoulders and chest. The jerk still gave me a ticket. Oh, sorry about that.
We had a similar test story in college. My college roommate, Marty, had a test on his
Marty
21st
Smith?
Birthday.
Marty Smith?
Marty Shanstrom.
Not that Marty.
And he knew, like, oh, man, I'm going to be in rough shape. It's my 21st birthday. I'm going to go tell him, like, I got something. I can't take it. Professor's like, the only one reason you can miss this test is if you have court that day. And he's like, oh, well, matter of fact, I do have court that day. I've got a hearing in Colfax. And we walk out. I'm like, dude, why did you say you have court? Like, you sound like a degenerate now. Wouldn't you rather just, like, take it drunk or hungover? He's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm in it now. So we end up back at the frat house Googling Whitman County court docs. And he's like, dude, I'm going to Photoshop this. I'm going to get my name on the Whitman County court document. We're doing it. We're calling people who can help, who can mock up this court document. And then we realize, like, dude, what are you doing? You're faking a court summons to give to your teacher. Like, you got to take the test, bro.
Yep.
And he went, took the test, got like a B.
Yeah.
He tripped over the desk walking in, created this whole big scene, and then got a B. And
I love that once you're in it, you better just commit to it. Like, how are we going to make this thing work now?
What am I going
to
go tell him? My court date got moved?
All right. Cindy is in Lakewood, 206-421-3776. Cindy, give us an excuse.
Hi. I was in college and working at the Disney store and managing it, and one of my people always, like you said earlier, always came in late. And I kept on saying, well, why are you constantly late? And one day, didn't show up at all. The next time comes in, I said, you didn't show up at all. What happened? Well, you know I'm bipolar. It was my other personality taking over.
Aww, come on.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's also not, yeah, that's not bipolar. But it's funny that she thought so. Oh. Wow. That takes some guts, huh? Be able to say that. Thank you, Cindy, for the phone call. You want to grab a few more of these? Randall is giving us a call. Good morning, Randall. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. It's the worst or best excuse.
I used to live in Long Beach, California. We were down on the beach at the Grand Prix in April, and I worked at this pizza place in the evening. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I decided I didn't want to go to work, so I called him up and I said that I fell asleep in the car with a bunch of my buddies, and I woke up on the Mexican border. We were on our way to Tijuana, and I wasn't going to be able to get there today.
And?
Did it work?
It worked out well. Everybody wanted to know what happened in Tijuana the next day, and I had never been to Mexico, and I still made it work.
Well played. Too much drinking at Shannon's Bayshore over there in, right?
I just said tacos and tequila, man.
Tacos and tequila. Unbelievable. All right, you guys are all degenerates. What's the matter with all you guys?
Are you buying Robbie's? After all,
am I buying it? Yeah, buying what?
After all these other excuses? Are you
that he didn't know it was banned? Yeah. No. Sorry, am I supposed to?
I don't know. What do you think the percentage of people that give him the benefit of the doubt is?
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Higher than the rest of the country. Yeah. Say that.
I'd say 60% of people in Seattle give him the benefit of the doubt.
That cannot, no. That cannot possibly.
Howdy, I can't believe it.
50% are sad.
50% are sad. On
right. Well, they're probably
results.
Sad that baseball like gave him something he didn't know was banned.
That can't be right. There's no way if we ran in 10 people that knew this story.
60%.
No chance. There's no chance. I think there's one or two.
This is just one where like asking the newsroom's not going to help because they're very cynical and jaded.
Right. No, they're not the right people to ask.
No.
Text message here, 710-710. A girl I was dating in college kissed another guy in front of me, and her excuse, oh, I didn't know you were watching.
Oh.
That's pretty good. All right. Good stuff from you guys. I like a lot of that. There's some funny stuff in there. All right, Brock, let's switch gears here for a few minutes. Thanks for the excuse stories. I enjoyed them. We're going to do this because I wanted to get some time for this yesterday, and we never really ended up having time. Scott Service is going to join us in about 45 minutes. But we saw some of the these national takes on the offseason came out from the NFL, the big NFL experts. Like,
yes.
Who had the best? Who had the worst? What was the best move? This, that, and the other. And a whole bunch of them are saying the Seahawks had the worst offseason. And I got to admit, this like really ticks me off. And it probably shouldn't. And at the end of the day, I guess I'll be happy about it. Like, better to have them think you stink and be able to use them as the enemy and all that. And, you know, surprise everybody as opposed to being favored in every game.
Yeah.
But it does just sort of irritate me, the complete discrepancy between the way they see it and the way we see it.
Yeah, we've been able to, I think, place the draft analysis for many years in one corner. Because repeatedly, the Seahawks were Ds and Cs and Fs. And, you know, especially early in the run, it was awesome. In 2011 and 2012 and 2013, like to look at the draft picks and see all the fruit that was born and just stick it right back in their face. But, Mike, it's been harder to do that over the last few years. That all of a sudden those grades and those evaluations in 13, 14, 15 have not borne nearly the fruit. And some of those guys said, see, you know, it's kind of caught up to them. Mm. Some of their ways have kind of caught up to them. The national guys that said, see, you can't take care of players the way that Pete and John want to. The way that they engender so much trust
but
and loyalty.
But that doesn't seem to be the argument made. The argument doesn't seem to be, oh, you trusted players and now it's hurting you. The argument is that they don't like the moves the Seahawks made.
They trusted guys too long, and in trusting them too long, you had to let them go, and you got nothing for them. Mm. That instead of a year early, that Bill and the others have done around the league in Philly, you held on to him a year too late. And because of it now, look at all the talent that's left.
I think that's a more fair argument. I haven't seen anybody actually say that.
Okay.
I'm glad you interpret it that way. Sure. I've yet to read one that actually says what you just said.
No, they just,
that would be a fair argument against what the Seahawks are at.
Their raw analysis is there's just simply so many Pro Bowlers gone that they look at it with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. You can't lose DeSean Jackson. You can't lose bona fide proven talent in this league. Carolina, Dave Gettleman got you fired. You can't let Josh Norman and the entire secondary walk after a Super Bowl. You know, you're just going to lose games that you have to have bona fide, proven veteran talent.
I see it different. What I see from the analysts is playing both sides of it. That they are upset that the Seahawks didn't get more value back from the big names on their team when they left.
Yeah.
But also they're upset that they don't have big names. And the problem with big names we know in the NFL is that they're not as good as they used to be generally. And so it's like, oh, well, you guys should have gotten more for those guys than you did. But also they're not there, so you're not good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have that both ways in the Bob Stelton world, right? Like, that's they're trying to play both sides of it against the Seahawks, and I think that's very unfair. Oh, well, we don't know the names of the people on your team anymore, and also you should have gotten value for those guys before they left back when they were good.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it it seems to me more likely that what the Seahawks did is moving them back towards success as opposed to just allowing I don't know. It bothers me. Maybe I'm not phrasing it very well.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. That you can't do it in the NFL. You can't lose names and known commodities.
Yes, you can.
And all of a sudden get back names and known commodities.
Right.
That's not
you
the way it works.
You lose names and you get ones that people don't know. And
correct.
Generally, those guys are better.
Well, and they're going to say you're 13, 14, 15, 16. Those guys aren't. Okay, Luke Wilson didn't become that. And you can go through that long list of guys and the people that you brought in. And Percy didn't become that. And Jimmy didn't fit in your system. And I think that's where some of the national guys look at it, Mike, and say, hey, man, not only have you lost a lot of proven talent here, some of these draft picks through those years, man, it's lean. It's pretty darn lean.
Yeah.
And if you're going to rely on 8 to 10 rookies in this class, and you're going to rely on a lot of Barkevious Mingos and the Ed Dixons and these guys that are role players, and you're going to really rely on them and think they're going to be star players, you're going backwards.
The problem is they still have a bunch of star players. They're not like a lot of other teams that don't. And maybe what they needed was some better role players.
Yes.
They still have Russell Wilson. They still have Doug Baldwin. They still have KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas. I mean, they still have a lot of those guys.
Sure.
And Shaquem Griffin looked like he was, Shaquille Griffin looked like he was heading towards that last year. I mean, what I like about this team now as opposed to last year is that they're back to being who they are. And I don't think the national pundits get that at all.
So if you and I were in Arizona, okay, and we were doing Gambo's show or their morning show, Doug and Wolf.
God help us.
If we were doing this show in Arizona, you don't think we would look at what happened in Seattle? Because I've listened to all of their
shows. I don't even think
we'd
think about it. We'd be too busy,
about the Suns and the hockey team and everything else they have? Yeah, sure. But if we did and we competed.
We'd be too busy out getting tattoos and frosting our tips.
And we were in Arizona and we were competing against this group for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Richard Sherman's out. You get nothing for him. All of a sudden, Michael Bennett. A fifth rounder. All of a sudden, Cam Chancellor is going to retire. All of a sudden, Cliff Averill has to retire, get cut off. You would look at all of those moves and say, yeah, man, their time's up. Right? Welcome to the NFL, where that cycle of players is gone.
I think I'd be busy looking at my own team in Phoenix and saying, our time is up.
Maybe.
I think that would be first.
Maybe.
Why? Because you don't have a quarterback.
But that
I will never look at a team that has a franchise quarterback and say their time is up. I'm not going to do that.
I think that's fair for us, and I think we made that point multiple times. And we pointed to Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees and the number of teams that have turned over around their franchise quarterback and they don't hit rock bottom.
Now, I also think that this is part of a two-off-season program for them. I don't think that they're going to be all the way back to where they are after this offseason. I think they're going to need two in order to turn this thing back around and truly get back to where they want to be. But I don't see them as having a bad offseason. I see them as a team that maybe isn't going to be as good as they've been. Maybe they will, just based on the way things kind of break for them.
Yeah.
But one that is in the middle of a transition that may take some time.
Well, you like my earlier analysis. Can I give you three more quickly?
Better hurry.
I know you want to get to... No, not right now. I know you want to get to the Poto sound, so we can do that as well. But let me just pay this conversation off quickly, since the excuses that I make an excuse went too long in that last segment, because I do have, I think, 3 points on this subject that you will enjoy digging into, and some DePoto sound we got to
We're going to do that all next.
Yeah.
I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Scott Service will join us in a half hour. Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We also have some tickets to give away. We'll do that after we talk to Scott. Brock, what we were talking for a moment ago there about the Seahawks and their offseason and kind of the way the national pundits have looked at it.
Yes, and I'll give you three reasons. I'll actually give you a fourth one, too.
Bonus reason.
Yeah, a bonus reason. You made me think about it. I'll go triplets and I'll go quads. I'll step up one more. Number one is what I hit on a little bit earlier, and that's just a pure loss of talent in the known commodities. You know, much like it, you just don't have to look back very far and see how Chip Kelly got ripped for losing DeSean Jackson, even though he would tell you that was the best thing for the team, for the locker room, for the culture and everything else. Josh Norman leaving Carolina. The people from the national narrative look at that and say, and point to those and say, yeah, and you lost Sherman, and you lost Bennett, and you lost Averill, and you're going to lose Cam.
I just look at it and say the only one, like the Cam and the Averill ones, they weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
I think they were expecting everything else.
Yes, the Seahawks in their plan.
We were getting ready to lose Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and some of the Jimmy Graham and the rest of that. What we weren't expecting to do was to also lose Cliff Averill and Cam Chancellor. That was ahead of the plan.
Number two,
rest of it is the plan.
Number two, the beatdown in December matters. Just the what that looked like and what that felt like. The beatdown in December and the humiliation at the hands of the Los Angeles Rams, physically overwhelmed at the line of scrimmage down the stretch of the season. That was 42-7. That could have been 63-10. Mm. I mean, that could have been as ugly gets. They did whatever they wanted to do in your building in a game at that point that was for the NFC West. And, you know, people just don't, I think, on the national level, forget those things. And I think number three, and this one, you know, this is just my personal conversations with, I don't know, three, four, five national guys, regional guys. A lot of them think that Pete's done. You know, I've asked a bunch of them point
blank.
That's
not a surprise.
Not done in the sense like he's not putting in all of the energy and the effort and the want to. That it's not a Pete Carroll issue. It is that a lot of them look at it, and Colin Cowherd has espoused, is that the right word? This a number of times. Like, hey, look how it ended at USC. You know, it's a great run. You know, when you have underachievers and new young guys and you build it up and you explode and all the positivity and everything else. But Colin's not alone in that. I think if you were to survey, you know, blind survey a number of them and say, hey, do you think Pete can do this a second time here? They can restart the whole engines here from the culture and the players and the locker room. That I've been surprised a number of times I've heard from people that their answer is no on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, in the fourth bonus one, you mentioned Russell. You and I think he's a franchise guy, right? You still have GMs in this league last year.
Let's come back. Right. So forget them. I mean, the Russell, this is why I hate the national people and what they think about the Seahawks. It is not a surprise that they think Pete has lost the culture and Pete is done. They never thought Pete would do it, and this is finally justifying what they always wanted to believe.
Yep. Yankees fears confirmed.
That's exactly what this is. It's the same. I was just going to make the same leap. Kyle's dead on right. I totally agree. It's the same thing. This is what we always thought was going to be the case. And all right, he had his little blip where he's won a couple of Super Bowl and almost win another. Right. But at the end of the day, Pete Carroll's system will never work, and now it'll never work.
Yeah, we always knew it.
But if that's what you think, then how can you not love the offseason where he goes out and gets guys that specifically fit the system, where he jettisons the guys that no longer did fit, that no longer wanted to be a part of that culture? You just can't have it both ways, and they're trying to play all of it against him, and I just don't like it. I think it's wrong. And I think Russell's a franchise quarterback, so put all that together, and I don't mind their offseason. Is it perfect? I don't know. We'll wait and find out how well it works. But I like what they did, and I like the style with which they did it.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree with a bunch of that. I think, unfortunately, the Earl one for me makes this offseason difficult.
It's true.
Because I really would have loved for them to have parlayed that into 2 second-round picks, and it nearly did. You know, I mean, that was on the table, but it just did not happen. And some of that's out of their hands. Some of that's the market conditions. But you ultimately also put yourself in that situation where the market's there. You know, and could you have done it a year earlier? You know, and in that old adage, it's always better a year earlier in the NFL than it is certainly a year later or 2 years later. So I get it. I get where they're coming from. I don't agree with a whole lot of it, but I certainly hear it. And if you're on the national level, on the outside looking in, you know, there's a number of the reasons for why they make their points.
That's the points they make. And obviously, John Schneider had deals that he had to examine. Jerry DePoto is now going to go through a similar experience as he loses Robinson Cano for now 78 more games. Should we have a little tracker on this? How many games left before Cano returns? You're up to 78 games now until he returns. And the good thing here, sort of the positive out of the negative, is that he's got a little money potentially to spend, right? They saved $12 million. Brock, I know you were asking yesterday whether or not they had to give any of that to the league. From everything I could find out yesterday, they do not.
Okay.
It is all their money. They don't have to give anything to the league. It's just their money, and they can kind of do whatever they want with it. So the question is, right now, can they not deal a lot of players, but pay the salaries of some guys that are overpaid on other teams. Mm-hmm. And from everything I've been able to determine, probably not yet. And that may very well be a possibility if you can wait a month or two, but it's not necessarily going to be a possibility now in mid-May. However, that's not to say that there's not a trade market right now, Jerry DePoto with Shannon Dreher yesterday.
It's been a fairly active, let's call it discussion. I wouldn't say the market's open, but the lights went on in the market at an earlier point than they've ever gone on before, in my opinion. There's been a lot of discussion about what teams may do, what their general line of thinking might be as we get into the middle of May.
And some of that makes sense because more than ever this year, teams are either going for it or rebuilding. Yes. And so they know earlier exactly what they're going to be. And it means that Jerry himself is right up in the thick of things earlier than expected.
For me personally, it's prompted more phone calls than I've typically received or even made at this point in the season. And over the last, let's call it, 20 hours or so, I've maybe been a little more aggressive in making some of those calls than I otherwise would have.
All right, so an aggressive Jerry DePoto out there making
as he
calls.
Said that.
I'm sure he did.
Shannon, guess what? Instead of 42 phone calls, I made 68 today.
He's guilty. Yes. Guilty is charged. So what is he finding out there in the market?
We can go out in the outside market potentially through the course of this late spring and into the early summer and access an outfielder who might be able to help us. Maybe a little easier than it would be to find a second baseman. Particularly to find a second baseman who's as good as D. Gordon. Oh. I know we can't find a second baseman as good as D. Gordon, but we might be able to augment our outfield with someone else who might not have to step in and be a star, but who can supplement a deep lineup and help this move down the path.
So if that's what you're looking for, Brock, let's do a little investigation. If you're going to narrow it for now and say that they're looking for outfield help, forgetting about the pitching stuff, but for now you're just looking for outfield help rather than second base help,
mm-hmm.
What are you looking at? You're looking at either the teams that are out, the teams that have a glut of outfielders, or somebody who's got someone near the end of his contract that's overpaid that mm-hmm. maybe you could take off
you
their
got
hands.
Names?
I got
you
thoughts. I mean, you start looking through and just doing a little logic. You didn't want my names earlier.
I
you said, actually,
now.
No.
I want them.
Now you're ready for money. I said, Brock, yes. Would you want some of these names?
And actually, no.
You said, actually, no. You were like Kevin
now
Calabro.
I do, yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad that finally you might want some of the yes. research. That
actually, no.
Thanks, Casey. All right, here are some possibilities, names of outfielders that might fit into one of those categories. Adam Jones, his name is going to be there. Certainly here in Seattle, where it's such a big name, where he started his career. He's in the last year of his deal with Baltimore. They're terrible. Could you take a bunch of that salary off their hands? Probably not yet. That'd be my guess. That's not to say that that wouldn't come into play, but on May 17th, I would doubt it. On June 17th or July 17th, I think that's a very real conversation. The question is, by July 17th, do you need it? So we'll kind of wait and see, and I don't know whether Baltimore's going to want to admit to their fans that they're fully out on this year. A couple of other names, lesser names, Leonis Martin. You're going to see him here. Well, he's, I guess, on the disabled list, but he's having a pretty good year with Detroit. He's hitting close to 300. You're familiar with what he does. Left-handed bat, so he's probably more of a platoon for Heredia than he is for Gamel. Mm. But left-handed bat that you know can play center field. You love his defense out there, so you don't lose anything. He's familiar. Scott loves him. They love him in the clubhouse. He gets the culture. He's incredibly cheap, so you don't have to give up much to get him. Leonis Martin, I would think, would be a possibility because it's not like the Tigers are desperate to hang on to Leonis Martin. They're not trying to win. Similar to him, I guess you would take a look at Cameron Maben, who's bounced around a little bit. He was with the Angels last year. Mm-hmm. I think he's back with Miami this season. So Cameron Maben is, again, guy who can run around. He can steal bases. He's not a great hitter. But if he can help be a part of a platoon, yeah, maybe Cameron Maben becomes a possibility. I would look in Toronto, where they've got too many outfielders. They're a good team, but they've got a ton of outfielders. Could Curtis Granderson be a short-term fit? Could Kevin Pillar be a short-term fit? I think those are a couple of guys I would look at. And I also found myself looking at the White Sox, another team that's all kind of open for business. And maybe somebody like Avisail Garcia, who is not having a great year this year, but hit like 330 last year, might be an option. Mm. So there's names out there.
If you want to
start looking, how do any of those jump out to you?
I think
like
there's a couple
of
other names. Look at the San Francisco Giants, who are currently 500. If things go south for them, they've got two highly paid outfielders. That one they just traded for, an Andrew McCutchen,
yep.
who is a big name, doesn't make as much money as you might think. And then Hunter Pence is the other one who just went on the deal with a thumb sprain, and he's having a rougher season, but he's in the last year of his deal, too. Yeah.
I know which one. You want Leonis Martin, obviously, right? That's the name on your list.
Oh, yeah,
you want
I really want Leo.
Did any of those? Do you like any of those names?
Yeah, I think there's some intriguing ones on that list.
Who do you like?
Michael Brantley's another one to look at if they fall apart, too.
Mm. Which one did you like?
I would really like any of those guys.
Any of them would be just fine. Whatever. They're just somebody to help get you through until you get Robinson Cano back. All right. Coming up next, a little good news, bad news, no news, including the Seahawks doing something very important but under the radar. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, about 15 minutes away from chatting with Scott Servais, who will join us, Mariners manager. He's had an interesting week.
Are you going to bring up the hat, Spiegel?
I think we pretty much have to.
You have to.
Of course.
You're a man.
I talked to him about it yesterday.
You're a man. You're 40.
I spoke to him about it yesterday.
You're 40.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. I need that. That's not news, but what is in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Jerk.
The Seahawks signed their first-round pick, running back Rashad Penny.
And good news. Get him into camp, get him happy, couple million bucks in his pocket, get him to live out his dream, and just no funny business. There shouldn't be, as John Clayton will tell you. Right, this is actually one of the positives of this new CBA. It's ended so many of the ridiculous holdouts where rookies could not really hit the ground running, and yeah, I guess really Pennywise on both sides to get it done.
It's good news. I mean, it's close to no news because this stuff is going to happen in the current version of the CBA, but I love it. I'm glad that there's no drama here at all. I'm really excited about Rashad Penny. I told you he's one of my favorite first-round picks they've made. I've watched the guy play in college and really enjoyed him, and I think he's going to be a great Seahawk for a long time. So I'm excited about Rashad Penny.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Larry Scott is the highest paid conference commissioner in the country.
I mean, you're saying that at $4.8 million. I can't imagine it's true.
So I asked Molly last
night. Can't be true.
Hold on a second.
Doesn't make any sense that would be
true. It'd be funny if
illogical.
Asked Heather, asked Melissa, asked Caitlin. I said, Molly, what do you think Larry Scott makes? The news just came out. What do you think Larry Scott's salary is, the commissioner of the Pac-12 conference? What do you think Molly's answer was?
$500,000.
Pretty close.
Really?
$750,000 maybe.
She's like, $350,000?
$350,000.
That'd be $400,000.
That's not right.
I'm like, no, 10 times plus.
If you had asked me what he was making, I would have said 1.2 to 1.5.
Yeah, I'd have said $2 million.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah, I would. And I would have been like, all right, at $2 million, he's overpaid. At $4.8 million, this is a travesty. What is going on with the presidents of the schools in the Pac-12? Are they blind? Deaf, dumb, stupid? What is the problem? Are they not paying attention?
Bro, you've said stupid 5 times today.
Are they?
I don't know. You said it almost in every segment today. What's going on?
I'm asking if they're stupid. I don't know that they are, but how could you possibly pay that man $4.8 million?
The president of Stanford, how dare you?
Can we change, like, he needs a nickname. He's some sort of magician.
How is he? Jim Delaney, he's more than doubling Jim Delaney's salary in the Big Ten. That's ludicrous.
What?
Pure ludicrous.
Call him the Great Scott or something?
Bad news. Maybe. The Great Scott.
Scott!
I mean, good news for Larry, bad news for the conference.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Cleveland Browns will be this year's team on Hard Knocks.
That's good news. There's a ton of storylines. There's a lot of new talent, Jarvis Landry and other pieces, veteran pieces that came in. Baker Mayfield has his own. It'll be very interesting because Baker's got his own production company. So does his production company work with HBO to make all that
work? It's going to be a really crowded club or locker room.
You got Hugh Jackson. You got John Dorsey, who's a pretty open guy. Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty fascinating look. In fact, if I could pick 32 teams and say which team, other than the Seahawks, would I love to see behind the scenes? With all the action going on in Cleveland, I'd put the Browns on.
You wouldn't want the San Francisco 49ers to see Jimmy Garoppolo every day? His boyish good looks.
Actually, Arizona with Josh Rose would be probably number
That's
one.
True. Yeah. I'm excited about this. I think it's good news.
Garoppolo does not have boyish good looks.
He just has good looks.
Thank you.
He's just good looking. They're boyish. They're rugged. They're all of the above. Yeah, right, yeah, fair point.
Heather last week seeing him dropping the puck before that San Jose Sharks game.
She just stops conversation right in the middle of a sentence. Oh, my God. He is that good looking. Yeah. Yes, he is. Hard Knocks has kind of been boring recently. Can we just come out and admit it? It hasn't been as fun to watch as it used to be. You've kind of gotten used to it. It's not quite as exciting. Like the last few years, you haven't even really. Who did it last year?
Jets?
Did they? I remember when the Jets did it the first time. That was really
Rams
interesting.
Rams 2 years ago with Jeff Fisher.
Even that was kind of weak. Yeah. Like the last one, I remember Atlanta doing it.
How long do sitcoms
go? 5 years, 6 years, exactly. And then it's too much. Yes. And so. You know, they can try to do this again. It has definitely lost some of its luster, but maybe the Browns will be the team to bring it back.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Rockets beat the Warriors to tie the Western Conference Finals at a game apiece, and the Warriors are definitely not going to the NBA Finals.
Definitely not. No news.
You have not watched any of it, huh?
I watched 3 minutes of Celtics-Cavs the other day.
Okay. And? Entertained?
No.
Played hard?
Yeah, Celtics play hard. It was cool. I mean, actually, I mean,
Celtics do play hard.
If the Celtics are to win, now, Howdy, I think we both agree it's not going to happen. But if the Celtics were to win, would it change some of your perception of the way you can win in the NBA? Pretend for a moment it happened.
Down their top two stars.
Yeah, winning without any real stars on their team and a coach who makes it like a college game. It all revolves around him instead of the players.
It opened my mind to it. But the Spurs have been doing that forever, and it doesn't really change a lot for me, so
fair
I guess
point.
Not.
Plus, it would be more the exception that proves the rule.
Good news. I want to see that series go 6 or 7 games. And the only way that was going to happen was if the Rockets won game 2, because if it was 2-0 going back to Golden State, it'd be over quick. And I like watching those two teams.
You didn't get to the biggest piece of obvious news of all time. Joey Votto, noted Canadian, apologizing.
Yeah, what was up with that? Was he just bitter?
I don't know. Well, Canadians apologize. Howdy did a whole bit on it.
Oh,
sorry.
That's true.
Sorry.
Oh,
sorry about that, guys.
Joey
Excuse
Votto,
me,
by the way, is kind of like a fun spoiler. Like that. We don't know him a lot, but he doesn't like fun.
Yeah, but what happened here kind of makes some sense. So Joey Votto's like all bitter about Canadian baseball. So Paxton throws his no-hitter.
Because he's from
Canada.
Toronto.
Right. He throws the no-hitter up there, and then they ask Votto about it, and he's like, look, I really don't care about that. And then he kind of realized he was being a jerk.
Yep.
He was like, oh, well, I'm not trying to. It's not that I don't care about Paxton. I just don't care about Canada.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not a problem with that. What's do you?
Up, what's up the patriotism, oh, Canada? Come
well,
on,
he doesn't
Votto.
Care about Canadian baseball.
He's
they
mad
must have
at Canadian
done him dirty
baseball
or
something. Yeah, who knows?
They must have done him dirty at some point.
Better than that.
All right. That's good news, bad news, no news. That's every single day right at 8:45. Hope you'll join us for it.
How service about, comes
I like Great Scott, by the way.
I want service.
Great Scott.
Great Scott.
Whenever
we talk about him.
I want to come right after. I'm gonna do all I can to encourage him to just go into attack mode.
No, don't do that.
Don't be an in-between, Scott.
Why would you ask him to attack me?
Because you guys were wrong about that. Maybe he was a little in-between, but give him some grace, okay? You imagine the day he's had. You imagine the trip he's had.
He had a really tough day. Yeah. That's why I would have thought he would have been mad enough to truly spike the hat. Now, maybe he was worried about a UCL injury. That's what happened to Carson Smith.
True.
He spiked his glove. And have you seen what's happened with that, by the way?
No.
So Carson Smith, remember the old Mariners
reliever? Just
glad
you're able to remember it.
Thank you. So Carson Smith, the old Mariners reliever, who was traded to Boston,
right?
Had immediately had Tommy John after. He went there. It was a mess. He finally comes back this year. He's pitching okay. He spiked his glove the other day in anger after giving up a run or two,
yeah.
And retore the UCL. At the very least, he got hurt again. I'm not sure what the injury was.
It's really embarrassing.
But now he's sort of blaming Alex Cora for overuse.
Oh.
The manager. So they were like, is this all about overuse? And he's like, I don't know. You said it, not me.
Oh, okay.
Basically, I mean, I'm that's
just
not his
listen
actual
to third
quote.
Base coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically he's like, I don't know.
This should have been in the all time great excuse.
I don't think I really want to talk about that. Oh, that is the worst excuse of all time, Josh Hamilton.
Well, I mean, just listen to the base coach.
Is it that one, or is it when he said he had blue eyes so he couldn't play during the day?
Or it was funny that it only rained when we had the ball. Bruce
God, there were so many good ones we missed. This is terrible. We're embarrassing. Scott Service will join us next. It's Brock and Salk.